we are working with as well. Broadview was down to about 15 people, several of whom we knew really well. And I can report... wonderful singing. I can report, you know, Broadview, our fellow, our sister church at Broadview is up to about 100 people and you know, I don't know, 30 kids or something or other. So God's doing a wonderful job there. We bring you greetings from them as well. But I've been here a few times before. I've done a wedding here. We want to thank you for the number of times that you've let us use this for our Alpha Holy Spirit days at Ross Trevor. We love coming up here because it's just so beautiful, isn't it? And we also came up here for an elders retreat in January or February, and you won't believe it, but one of the things, we're just sitting over there, and we felt God saying to us, partly under the leading of Dan Beasy, who is our lead pastor now, but just God speaking to us about the possibilities of online church. And so we decided that's going to be something we're really going to look at in 2020, little knowing how much we were going to be looking at it during the year. But I just hope in this wonderful environment that God can speak to you today and that the koalas don't distract you too much. There's none out there, don't even look. I'm going to share a word with you today that I hope will encourage you and will encourage us all even more to have faith in what God can do among us as we trust him and as we serve him. You know, God loves it when we say these three words. I trust you. When we trust God, that's what faith is. Faith isn't some object. It's just simply trusting God. And he responds when we put our faith in him, and he never stops working if we keep our faith in him. Do you believe that? Even when we think our faith is small, Jesus was the one who said that faith the size of a mustard seed can move mountains in our lives, in our families, in our community, because our small faith is in the God who's able to do more than any of us could ever ask or imagine. Can you believe that? Amen? Our God can do more than that? The Bible tells me that. It must be true. Is it possible that though in the world around us there are so many people who are worried and fearful and anxious about the future, that we can be the people of faith and hope and love who can show others how to live well? Yes, it is possible. It is the way for us, because the voice of Jesus comes to us even today to encourage us in the midst of life to know we're the safest and most secure, and all things are possible when we're with him. That's all we need to do, is to stay with him. So today I want to encourage you in faith with one word, really, from the Gospel of Matthew. So it's going to be a short message. Not really, but in Matthew's Gospel, you see, we see two ways that Jesus relates to people about faith. We see firstly that anyone who comes to Jesus, he just loves to applaud faith if people come to him. Any time a person puts faith in him, Jesus is the one who's looking to highlight it. Jesus celebrates faith. He rewards faith. He's looking. Right now he's looking for faith. He's looking for those who'd say, I want to trust in you. For example, there's the faith of the Roman centurion who believed that Jesus could heal his servant at a distance. You'll find that in Matthew 8. And Jesus was the one who said, I haven't found such great faith in all of Israel. Go and it'll be done for you exactly as you've believed. In Matthew 9, some people bring a friend to, paralyzed friend to church. I'm sure you probably may well have heard this story, and they take the tiles off the roof and lower him down. And the word of God tells us when he saw their faith, he said to the paralyzed man, go and be healed. Your sins are forgiven. What a response to their faith. In the same chapter, a Jewish woman who's been sick with bleeding for 12 years just reaches out and touches him, and he says these amazing words. Take heart, daughter, daughter of Abraham, he says. No one had ever called a woman daughter of Abraham before. It was about sons of Abraham. Take heart, daughter of Abraham. Your faith has healed you. And in Matthew 15, a foreign woman, sort of God owed nothing to her, who pleads for a daughter to be freed from a demon possession. Just give me some scraps from the table of God, she says. And Jesus says, woman, you have great faith. Your request is granted. Whatever our nationality, whatever our gender, whatever our situation in life, whatever our need, Jesus answers when we approach him in faith. Even from the first time we meet him, if you approach Jesus in faith, He will respond to your faith with love and power for your life and your situation. That's what the Bible teaches us. So this morning, is there an issue in your life that you should bring to Jesus in faith today? This morning, is there an issue in your life that you should bring to Jesus in faith today? But the second way we see Jesus responding to people in faith is the way we see Jesus respond in his teaching of his disciples. And we find that as he teaches them and encourages them in faith, we don't hear him talking about their great faith, but we hear Jesus using a new word that he creates, especially to encourage his disciples to continue to grow and to grow in faith in him. That's what he's wanting in his disciples. So this morning I simply want to encourage us in our faith with this one word from Jesus. So what is this one word about faith that I'm promising you? It's a word that Jesus repeats four times in Matthew's gospel as he teaches and encourages and reminds his people to be a people who are growing in faith. The word in Greek is oligopistos, a new word put together, invented by Jesus. And it's the two words, little and faith, stuck together. And it sounds a little bit like Jesus is putting his disciples down, like he said, "Oh, you have little faith." Like he's really mean and nasty and just criticising us because we've got little faith. But yet elsewhere he said, if you've got faith as small as a mustard seed, you can move a mountain. I want us to see the heart of Jesus, that he's really encouraging us to grow. For the truth is, we might all feel at times like we've got very little faith. So Jesus uses a special word about faith, a term he created in love for us as his disciples, a new word for us, little faith. And we'll see that each time Jesus uses this phrase, his heart is to take hold of us, to exercise our faith. Even if our faith seems small, he's like the best coach. You know, the Crows, they got that new guy, Matthew Nix, didn't they? Jesus is the best coach anyone's ever had, friends. And he wants to coach us to be people who are growing and growing in faith, to see him do wonderful things. Because we don't just talk about what he does. He does wonderful things as we trust him in our lives, our community, our church, and in our world. So let's just look at these four times quickly. First one's in Matthew 6, starting in verse 25. "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you'll eat or drink, or about your body, what you'll wear. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They don't sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life?" Isn't it wonderful that this is Jesus teaching? "And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow. They don't labour or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendour was dressed like one of these. If that's how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith?" There it is. You of little faith. So don't worry saying, "What shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear?" For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own." Amen, I hear the heavens saying. Wow, what a promise from Jesus. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and everything we need will be ours. I think especially for young people setting off in life, seek first the kingdom of God. He'll put the rest in place. But what does he hit here with this teaching on faith? If you look carefully, it's worry. Do not worry, my people. And you know, Jesus says it. You know why? Jesus says don't worry because he knows we all worry. He cares about us. He knows that worry saps our energy and steals our lives, and he knows that worry kills. And aware of our needs, he encourages us, of all people in the world, to cast off worry. But not from some strength of our own, but from the strength that comes from knowing that instead of worry, we can put our trust in him. All the worries of the world weigh us down. Jesus says, "Come on, little faith. I love you. I'll provide for you. You don't need to spend your life in worry. Lift your eyes, Jesus says, to see that your Father in heaven has his eye on you and will look after you as you follow him. I want to ask a question. Has anyone in this room ever found God to be a good provider? I have. So many here have. And I believe that he will look after everyone who trusts him. Do not live your life in worry. Do not live your life in worry. But by faith in Jesus. The second time Jesus uses this is just over in Matthew 8, where he calms the storm. Verse 23. Then he got into the boat and his disciples followed him. Suddenly a furious storm came up on the lake so that the waves swept over the boat. But Jesus was sleeping. The disciples went and woke him saying, Lord, save us, we're going to drown. He replied, you have little faith, there's that word. Why are you so afraid? Then he got up and he rebuked the winds and the waves and it was completely calm. The men were amazed and asked, what kind of man is this? Even the winds and the waves obey him. What is Jesus addressing here? Well, it's fear, isn't it? Fear. What does he say? Hey, little faith, why are you so afraid? Fear that God might not be able to control the circumstances around us. Fear that a storm or a problem or a situation could come along that God doesn't know about, that God can't handle, that's beyond him, that means fear overtakes God in our minds. They were on their way across the lake to do mission with Jesus on the other side, but fear was overtaking them. Jesus says, hey, little faith, why are you so afraid? Now, I can relate to this in a particular way because about 15 years ago, God called me and it followed on a call I received when I was a teenager. I was a late teenager in Glen Osmond Baptist and I was probably 17. I felt God call me to the ministry. Pastor said, go and get a job. So I got a job. I got a job in an accounting office, chartered accounting. I studied that. Then I had my own practice that God gave me, a big miracle really. And then after many years, I had 36 people working for me and God spoke to me at the age of 49. And he said, I want you to leave that. I want you to pastor Ross Trevor Baptist Church. And it's a big long story. I won't, get into it, but it was a miracle. I could sense that the church were going to call me just the day before they did. I wasn't on the list, but someone in the church said we should speak to him. And so they asked me, and I knew I had to do it. The next Sunday morning after I'd accepted it, I fainted in the shower at home. This being very honest with you, I got all those pink spots. Fear just overtook me. I can't do this. How can I possibly do this? Fear comes to overtake us. I had had so many miracles of God's provision in my life, but still fear came upon me. What if the waves and the storms of being a pastor are too much for me, I thought. You may be feeling fear in some way today. Perhaps because of the problems in the world, or perhaps because of something in your own life. Perhaps because there's a call God has on your life. And fear can stop us from doing what God has for us. But God spoke to me. In fact, God spoke to me not only himself, but he got my wife to speak to me. We were driving to church that Sunday morning after I'd fainted. I said, I can't do this. And she said, has God called you to do it? I said, well, yes. And she said, well, do it. That's the most firm she's ever spoken to me, I think, apart from when we're having a fight. But the most firm and general discussion my wife's ever spoken to me. Has God called you to do something? Then get on and do it. Jesus says to us today, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. There are plenty of waves of opposition around the church. There are plenty of things we can imagine that can go wrong. Fear must not hold us back from seeing the hand of God at work. God is never afraid of the circumstances. God is never fearful that he's going to fail. Remember, Jesus was so sure he was resting in the storm. He was asleep. Hey, little faith, Jesus said when they woke him up. Don't be afraid. One word from me is all you need. Don't be afraid to move in faith as a disciple and as a church, even as things change, in the knowledge that he's greater than any waves or storms around us. Put off worry for faith. Put off fear for faith. What's the third one? Let's look in Matthew 14. Matthew 14:22. Immediately Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of them to the other side while he dismissed the crowd. After he dismissed them, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. Later that night he was there alone and the boat was already a considerable distance from land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. Shortly before dawn, Jesus went out to them, walking on the water. When the disciples saw him walking on the water, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said, and cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage, it's I, don't be afraid." "Lord, if it's you," Peter replied, "tell me to come to you on the water." "Come," Jesus said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water and came toward Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid and began to sink, crying out, "Lord, save me." Immediately Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. "Hey, you of little faith," there he is. He said, "Why did you doubt?" And when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down, and those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly you are the Son of God." Can you hear Jesus saying it to Peter? "Hey, little faith," as he's reaching down, saving him, as Jesus so often does for us. "Hey, little faith, why did you doubt?" As he lifts him back out of the water onto safety, I guess standing on the water again, next to Jesus. "Hey, little faith, why did you doubt?" Why should we doubt that the miracles of God can happen for us? Jesus is always calling his people to step out on the water and keep our eyes on him and see the miracle of what he can do through his people. Hey, little faith. Hey, little faith, Norton Summit Baptist. Don't doubt that you're included. Don't doubt that you can walk on water, that you, this church, can be part of the miracles of God when we keep our eyes on him. And don't doubt what he can do in us. Let go of worry. Let go of fear. Let go of doubt. Keep our eyes on him in faith. And what's the fourth thing that Jesus teaches us through this word? It's in Matthew 16. The context is important here. Jesus had just fed 4,000 men and their families with just a little bit of bread. 4,000 men and their families with just a little bit of bread. A huge sign. Can you think of a bigger sign than Jesus is the Son of God with all the power of God? Even after that, the religious leaders came to Jesus and they tested him by asking him to show them another sign from heaven, which he refused to give. I think there were plenty of signs for anyone willing to see them, don't you think? I mean, if you all went to the picnic that you're having in a few weeks' time and nobody brought any food, forget COVID, forget about sharing, nobody brought any food, but one boy in the Sunday school brought along a couple of bits of bread, and you all went home from that picnic absolutely full and with food to put in your cupboards, would you think, you know, if you'd prayed about it, would you think that Jesus was the Son of God? This is the context. Verse 5. When they went across the lake, the disciples forgot to take bread. "Be careful," Jesus said to them. "Be on your guard against the yeast of the Pharisees and the Sadducees." They discussed this among themselves and said, "It's because we didn't bring any bread." Aware of their discussion, Jesus asked, "Hey, you of little faith, why are you talking among yourselves about having no bread? Do you still not understand? Don't you remember the 5 loaves for the 5,000 and how many basketfuls you gathered? Or the 7 loaves for the 4,000 and how many basketfuls you gathered? How is it you don't understand that I wasn't talking to you about bread? But be on your guard against the yeast of the Pharisees and Sadducees." Then they understood that he wasn't telling them to keep guard against the yeast used in bread, but against the teaching of the Pharisees and Sadducees. Now, what does Jesus focus on here? Have a look in verse 9. Just go back to verse 9. Understanding. Hey, little faith. Do you still not understand who I am? Do you still not understand who I am? How much bread I can make? Lack of understanding of who Jesus really is. Who is this Jesus that we follow, that we're worshipping here today? It's the most important question of all for a disciple. Why? He's the Lord of the entire universe. He's the Son of God. He's the one who holds everything in his hand. Hey, little faith, he says, look at who I am. Why would you talk about having no bread or whatever you need to do my will when you know who I am? If you're walking with me, understand that nothing is impossible for God. That's what we believe, isn't it? Nothing is impossible for God. We believe that, don't we? Sure, we'll face lots of challenges, but nothing is impossible with God for those who understand who Jesus really is. So that's what Jesus teaches us through this one word, little faith. And I would love it if through the Holy Spirit you can hear our Lord Jesus this morning saying, in whatever is your personal situation and to this beautiful fellowship here, hey, my much loved ones, my little faith people, I want you to know how much you are chosen and loved. I'm not going to let you go. I want you to not worry. Just put my kingdom first and I'll provide for you. Hey, little faith, you're so precious to me. I want you to not be afraid to follow me however I lead in your life and in this church. For my word will calm the storms and you'll be safe with me. Hey, little faith, you're my disciples. I will enable you. You can walk on water with me. Let go of any doubt that says you can't be part of miracles, that you can't see things happen that will bring the glory of God because they couldn't happen without me, because with me they will happen. Let go of the doubt that God can use you, the doubt that says you're not good enough or special enough or holy enough or the wrong gender or the wrong age or the wrong colour. Let go of it all and trust me and step out on the water of faith with your eyes fixed on Jesus and be part of miracles with him. Because Jesus says to us all, hey, little faith, because you know for every one of us we've only ever got little faith in a sense, haven't we? I've been a Christian for a long time now, maybe almost 50 years. And every morning when I get up, in one sense I'm full of faith, another sense I've just got this little tiny seed of faith. Because it's not something we've got, it's the person we're looking at. We get up and we put our trust in Jesus. And Jesus says, I know who you are and I love you. Always remember who I am. I'm the Lord over everything in your life. I can do wonderful things. I do impossible things through anyone and through every church who will remember who I am. Will you pray with me? Lord, we just want to thank you for your wonderful word this morning. Thank you, Lord, that when we understand who you are, we know that every word from you to your loved disciples is a word of encouragement. Lord, I want to thank you that you are here today. You are here, Lord, that we can worship you and we can learn from you and we can walk with you. And I know you care about every heart. I pray for the secret needs of every soul here, Lord, that we will be able to put our trust in you, even if it's hard, and see the miracles you have for us. And together, Lord, we come together and we pray that you will reveal your glory through Norton Summit Baptist Church, Lord, today and into the future. Do things, Lord, as your people put their trust in you. We pray this in your mighty name, Lord Jesus. Amen.